The following paid program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Joseph Prince Ministries. Today with Joseph Prince.
You see, many of us have this idea that we are holding on to God. But how many know that a child holding on to the mother's hand is never as secure as when the mother holds the child's hand? I want you to know something, and this is restful. You're not holding on to God's hand. God is holding on to your hand. The Bible says, I will hold your hand, saying to you, fear not. He is holding our hand. So even when we are weak, his hand is strong. Can I have a good amen? Don't you just love Jesus? Are you ready for the word? Let's look at Mark chapter 9. It's a very beautiful story. Many of you are familiar with the story. It's repeated more than one time in the Gospels. All right? But we look at Mark's account. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. When Jesus came to the disciples. Now, where was Jesus prior to this? He was at the mountaintop where he was transfigured. Amen. His face shone. For a while, God lifted the veil of Jesus' humanity and let the disciples who were there, Peter, James, and John, whom Jesus brought up to the mountain, and Jesus' face shone. All right, the transfiguration of Jesus. And we are following the story after the transfiguration when he came down the mountain. The Bible tells us when he came down the mountain, something happened. Verse 15, immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed. Now, why were they greatly amazed when they saw Jesus come down? Why? I submit to you because his face was still shining. There was the residual shine on his face, the glow on his face. And you know what the shine says? The shine says, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. You are forgiven because I have come. Amen. Remember Moses. Moses and Jesus. You can compare Jesus and Moses. Jesus went up the mountain. Moses went up the mountain. All right. Moses went up the mountain to receive the stones, the Ten Commandments. Came down, 3,000 people died. In fact, before 3,000 people died, he saw the golden calf. So much for Israel saying that all that God commands us, we will do. The moment you put yourself under law, the result is always the law strengthens sin. Even you desire to do right. You see, you vow to God, God, I promise I'll keep your law. That's the worst thing you can pray. It's the worst thing you can do, to put yourself under law. Because the more you put yourself under law, the more sin will manifest in your life. Look at Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. They vowed, they promised, they told God, all that God commands us, we will do it. We can do it. The next thing you see is the golden calf. They broke the very first commandment. Okay? Jesus came down the mountain here and saw a demon-possessed boy. All right? A picture of the golden calf. Under law, you can do nothing about people who are sinners, who are demon-possessed, who worship the golden calf. You know what happened to all those people who are demon-possessed? All right? Moses' solution is very simple. Kill all of them. And 3,000 people died that day. But under grace, when Jesus came down and saw the demon-possessed boy, all right, he didn't kill the boy. All right, he judged the demon and saved the boy. Amen. See, grace is able to separate the two. Amen. Whereas for under law, they kill the sinner with the sin. Amen. But under grace, God separates the two. How many understand? God hates sin, but God loves the sinner. And people can understand how much God hates sin. You must understand how much God loves you before you can understand how much God hates sin. You know why God hates sin? Supposing you have someone you love, all right? Maybe it's your child, 9-year-old, and the child has cancer. Do you love the cancer? The cancer is like sin, all right? Sin is in your child. You can't separate the cancer from the child. If only you could, you would, but you cannot. But the cancer is in your child, all right? Do you love the cancer? No, you hate it. You hate it to the degree you love your child. If you love your child extremely, you will extremely hate the cancer. Because the cancer, that sin, is destroying your child, your loved one. So God looks at man and God loves man. Because God loves man fervently, intensely, God hates sin with the same fervency. How many understand that? Amen? So it's very clear. It's very clear. It's because of the intensity of God's love for us. So when Jesus came down, the Bible says, when he came down the mountain, he saw, verse 14, he saw a great multitude around them, around the disciples. He was coming to his disciples. There were another 9, right? He brought 3 up, Peter, James, and John. Because Peter's name means stone, James means replace, John means God's grace. The stone has been replaced by God's grace up the mountain. Amen. Moses went up the mountain, received the stones, and 3,000 died. People died. Jesus went up, received grace. Amen. The stone has been replaced by grace, went down, hallelujah, and brought deliverance. Amen. So when Moses came down the mountain after he received the two tablets, not Panadol, the two tablets of stone, All right. I believe he was carrying one each on either arm. All right. And as he came down, okay, the Bible tells us his face was shining. Moses' face was shining. But it was a shine that condemns. A shine that says, all right, this is God's holiness and you are sinful. You are condemned. Don't come near. And the Bible tells us the people ran away from Moses. But here, when Jesus came down, verse 15, all the people were greatly amazed because of that shine on his face, and they ran to Jesus. Because the shine on Jesus' face says, you are forgiven, I have come. You are forgiven, you are forgiven, your sins are put away. Hallelujah. Amen. So he saw that the scribes, verse 14, the scribes were disputing with his disciples. All right, who are the scribes? The scribes in the Bible are people who are experts in the law. All right, they are experts in the finer points of the law. In fact, they add laws to the law. How many understand that? Okay, and what do you think they were disputing with the disciples of Jesus? The nine of them left at the foot of the mountain. What do you think they were disputing? They were telling the disciples, all right, why they could not cast the demon out of the boy. And they were using the law. They were saying to the disciples, all right, have you done this? Have you done the ritual bath? Have you gone to the mikveh? Have you finished your prayers? Have you fasted enough? Have you done that enough? Have you done this enough? How many understand when you hear the law, it will cause your faith to be void. It will cause your faith to shrink. How many understand that? So notice that, because we'll come back to that later. And Jesus came down and he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Wow. It's very easy to talk to the flock when the shepherd is not around. Then Jesus comes on the scene and says, what talk you with them? All right. They didn't answer. Notice that. They did not answer Jesus. Then one of the people in the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. In other words, the boy was dumb. This dummies cannot talk. So this boy was demon possessed. Verse 18. And wherever it seizes him, this demon seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Jesus answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought the boy to Jesus. And when he saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. Obviously, the demon was afraid. The Savior has come. The Redeemer has come. All right? The devil can bully your children, but the moment Jesus comes in, that's the end. And he knows it. All right, the next verse. So Jesus asked the father, how long has this been? How long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. I want to tell you something, parents. The devil doesn't respect the fact a child or an elderly person. He doesn't care about the age. Have you noticed that? He will attack whenever he has the opportunity. Okay? Now, what do you think? If the devil doesn't care about introducing pornography, okay, to your children, when they're about 10 years old, 9 years old. The devil doesn't care about talking about profanity, vulgarity on the television shows that, or the movies that they watch. Okay? Neither should you bother about the fact that they are young. Never say they are too young to understand the gospel. They are too young to understand the word of God. Never say that, because the devil doesn't think they are too young to understand profanity. Amen? The devil gets them when they are young. And when you get them when they are young, all right, those habits will remain to adulthood. The devil knows that. All right? So you know what? Never have this attitude, my child is too young, my child is too young. All right? They're never too young for Jesus. All right? In fact, wise is this father, because he's engaging Jesus for his child now. Bring your child to Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, before I go on, I just want to say this. All this happened before Jesus died on the cross. So do not worry. If you are a child of God, all right, the devil cannot possess you. The devil can oppress from outside. All right, you feel oppression or you feel depressed like the disciples did, but he cannot possess you. All right, the Holy Spirit, once you put your trust in Christ, the Holy Spirit is inside you. Say amen. And greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Amen. The Holy Spirit is not going to share All right, his dwelling place with a demon. All right, oh, demon, you stand down there. I stand down here. This is my line, okay? You cannot cross, okay? He will not share. Let me understand that. In the Old Testament, when someone who is not authorized walks into the Holy of Holies of God in the tabernacle, they drop dead. All right, today, the tabernacle of God is our spirit. God will never allow an evil spirit there. Even though you are dumb, you're stupid, whatever, all right, God will not allow the demon to enter there. You can be oppressed, you can never be possessed. Okay? Apostle Prince, what about Judas? Yeah, what about Judas? Judas was Jesus' disciple and he was possessed. Jesus says, in fact, one of you has a devil, one of you is a devil, he says. But the thing is this, you must understand, Judas wasn't saved. Neither was Peter. Neither was John. Neither was James. Is that a shock to you? How can they be saved? None of them were saved. They were Jesus' disciples. They were Jesus' followers. But none can be saved because Jesus has not yet shed his blood. They were following Jesus. They had miracles happening. Now, all these people, they had miracles happening. Just like Hebrews 6 tells us, they tasted the good word of God. They tasted the powers of the world to come. They were partakers of the Holy Spirit in the sense of his gifts. The same way the prophets of old in the Old Testament were partakers of the gifts, but none of them were saved, David included. How can they, before the Messiah has come, before Jesus has shed his blood? After Jesus shed his blood, Jesus went down to a place in hell, the Bible, a place called Sheol, where he preached to the spirits. The spirits there are the people of the Old Testament saints, telling them that I have come. That's when they were born again. When the disciples were born again, when were they born again? When Jesus rose from the dead in the upper room, he breathed. He breathed. Okay, I'm doing my best. All right, when he breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's when they were born again. 50 days after, on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So when they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the upper room, Judas wasn't there. Okay? So Judas wasn't saved. Only unsaved people can be demon-possessed. A believer can never be possessed. You might sound possessed. You might look possessed. Some of you, the husband is saying, Pastor, you don't know my wife. She sometimes she's possessed, okay? All right? She is not. She is not possessed, okay? Praise God. Living with you, of course, she looks like possessed. But the thing is this. Yeah, I can't just go after the girls. Must go after the guys also. Amen? You're responsible for the expression of your wife's face. If your wife is depressed, it's because of you. Oh, Pastor Prince, you're blaming me for everything. No, I'm not. All right? Not for everything. Almost everything. Okay. Can we go along? All right? Y'all keep on distracting me. Okay. So from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire, into the water to destroy him. The father says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Said Jesus, if you can do anything, if you can do. Wow. How many of us, like this father, when we are in a desperate situation, all right, we're in dire straits, we always think, you can do it. Why don't you do it? If we are honest, there's always our response. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, one thing you must never pray is to tell the Lord, have compassion on us. Never tell the Lord, please don't leave us. But Pastor Prince, David prayed that prayer. I know David did, but David was under the old covenant. The Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit goes. The Holy Spirit comes and if you sin, the Holy Spirit goes in the Old Testament. But do you know Jesus promised in the upper room just before he died? He says that the Holy Spirit will be in you forever. Forever is there. You know how long is forever? Forever. Until the 12th of never. That's a long, long time. Until the 12th of never. It's an old hymn. That's a long, long time. Okay, it's not a hymn. It's a pop song. Okay, praise God. Okay, so forever is how long? Forever. How long will Jesus be in us? Holy Spirit be in us? Forever. Even if you blow it, you lose your temper, whatever, he's still there. If he's not there, you'll never find your way back. Thank God he will never leave you. You know why he will never leave you? Because at the cross, Jesus looked up when he carried your sins and God left Jesus. He paid the price for you to have God's constant presence. And the Lord says he will never ever. The word never there in the Greek in Hebrews 13 is a double negative, which means, oh man, never ever leave you. Never ever relax my hold on you. You see, many of us have this idea that we are holding on to God. We are holding on to the Lord's hand. All right, we're holding on as best as we can. But how many know that a child holding on to the mother's hand is never as secure as when the mother holds the child's hand? I want you to know something, and this is restful. You're not holding on to God's hand. God is holding on to your hand. The Bible says, I will hold your hand, saying to you, fear not. He's holding our hand. So even when we are weak, his hand is strong. Hallelujah. Do you feel weak today? He's holding on to you. Don't worry. Amen. Praise the Lord. He will never leave you nor forsake you. All right. Now, the Bible tells us, so there are some things we cannot pray. Like, we don't pray like David in Psalms 51, take not your Holy Spirit from me. David prayed that because he was under a dispensation where the Holy Spirit comes and the Holy Spirit goes. But for us, that prayer is not for us today. Okay? Because he will never leave us. The better prayer to do is this. Sometimes I attend a Christian meeting and I hear someone pray at the end, Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, you go with us. You ever hear that? Go with us. You don't pray, you mean you will be left behind. Okay, bye-bye. No, he will never leave you. Wherever you go, Jesus is, all right? So I understand when they pray that prayer. I'm not knocking that, okay? Don't write to me and get angry and all that, okay? If you get angry, what can I do? Right, anyway, the thing is this. I'm sharing you the word of God. It's not right. All right, to pray, have compassion on us. Okay, they can pray that way in the Old Testament. He already has compassion. Why not thank him for his compassion? Thank him for his love. Before you leave, you say, Lord, I thank you as we depart for this holiday. You are with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? I remember one time, I was in the States a number of years ago, many years ago, and we were doing an inbound flight in the States, going somewhere else. And as plane was about to take off, this lady beside me, all right, she, if I tell you the company, you will know the company. It's one of the top companies in the world today. She was a director of this company, all right? So we were sitting in business class, and she was beside me, all right? And I saw her knuckles. She was holding on to the armrest until the whites of the knuckles are showing. So I look at her, and then she started crying. When the plane started moving, all right, taxiing towards the runway, she was crying, tears. I thought she was in pain, so I said, lady, can I help you? She said, no, I always have this when I fly. And then she told me she is a director of one of the U.S. directors for this huge company. So I was stunned, but you see, no matter how professional you are, people have problems that only Jesus can handle. So I look at her, I said, I'm just afraid to fly. Then she started, tears coming down. I'm always like this, I'm always afraid to fly. I said, lady, don't worry. This plane is not going down. I'm on board. Okay. No, wait. Okay. It's not because I am on board. You all know what I mean. Because wherever I am, Jesus is. Then I haven't finished yet, all right? I know it sounds really cool. We all want to stop there, but we are nothing. If it's just us, the plane is going down. Because of you, the plane is going down. You, Jonah, you. Amen. But because wherever you are, Jesus is there. You take the plane, he doesn't say bye-bye. You know, we are in trouble. He's with us. Amen. So I told the lady, I said that I'm here, all right? It's not going down. I belong to Jesus, all right? He will not let this plane go down. Then I started sharing her about Jesus. By the time the plane landed, she was smiling. She has received Jesus, and I've recommended her to a good church. Praise the Lord. God save. Mid-flight. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's a testimony. Instead of looking at her and she said, I'm so nervous and I'm afraid of flying. And then you say, I also am in plane. Never know what's happening and all that. You never know what's happening. Okay, so God wants us to be a good testimony. Be confident the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. But that's not my sermon. Okay, my sermon is coming. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The Father said to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Next, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Now, when did Jesus cast out the spirit? When he saw that the people were all running together. You know, people are people. When things are happening, they always oh, they want to see it. Now, Jesus saw the people coming. All right, before they came near, he cast the demon out. He's not there for show. Most people, all right, many of us, will wait until they all come. Y'all come, Ray? Okay, surround, okay? All right? Your father, mother, Kong Kong, all here already? All right, watch this, okay? What? Are y'all watching? Y'all watch this, okay? I command, you know? That's what man is like. But Jesus not. Jesus so cool, when he saw the people running, straight away he got to the point before they came. He's not there for show. He's there to love the father and love the boy. I just love Jesus. He's not like men. He's never egoistic. He owns the universe. He's the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. But like Joseph, when he's all powerful, the viceroy of Egypt saw the brothers that betrayed him and sold him off like a slave in front of him. He could just with one finger destroy all of them. His guards were all around. But what did he do with all the power given to him? He used it to forgive them. He says, come near. Come near. I'm your brother Joseph. Amen. That's our Lord Jesus. Give him praise. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. With the power God gives him, he uses it on our behalf. He blesses us, saves us, comforts us, encourages us, holds on to us. Praise the Lord. And then the Bible tells us he commanded the spirit to come out of the boy. Then the spirit cried out, convulse him greatly. Now, I cannot do it because I'm hopelessly, irreversibly saved. All right? But notice the word convulse him greatly. It was not just a convulsion, it was a great convulsion. Sometimes, before the Lord does something, the situation looks even more worse. It's just the devil's last burst of fire. Guys, remember in the army, the last one, as all the other, you know, section people run away, the last guy will do what? Last burst of fire, in case there's some enemies around. This is the devil's last burst of fire. That means what? It's a dying shot. Amen. Convulsed the boy greatly and came out of him. And the boy became as one dead. Not dead, but like one dead. So that many said he's dead. But Jesus took the boy by the hand and lifted him up and he arose. I love this phrase because it appears more than one time in the Gospels. Jesus is always taking people by the hand and lifting them up. He's always lifting you up. He's always lifting you up. Amen. If you hear a sermon and it's not lifting you up, get out. If you are reading a book and it's not lifting you up, close it. You're talking to someone and they're not lifting you up, all right? Say goodbye, hasta la vista. I got another appointment. Amen. Are you with me? All right? You know, we cannot allow, we are helping people that are discouraged, depressed, yes. But don't make friends with them. Don't make friends with negative people. Make friends with people who lift you up, who point you to Jesus. These are good friends. Amen. Are you listening? You can help people who are depressed. You can help people who are down, who are speaking negative, complain, fault-finding all the time. You can help them as a ministry, but don't make friends out of them. Make friends of people who are encouragers, people who lift you up, people who are like Jesus. Amen? And many of them are found in the church. Okay? So Jesus took the boy by the hand. Now, I want to go back to verse 22. The father says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, many of us, we have read this verse like this. If you can just believe, if you can just believe, wow, you all can come to that place. You can just believe. All things are possible, man, if you can believe. And many of us end up what? Like the boy's father, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. It's as if the whole weight falls on us. But actually, you know what Jesus said? You know what Jesus said? I want to show you the Greek, all right? And you'll get the idea. In the Greek, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. In the Greek, he says, if you can, the word believe is not there. If you can, all things are possible to him who believes.
Dear friends, as we enter a brand new year, I'm praying for you that 2018 will be your best year yet. Let's begin the new year remembering that God has called you to live a life of rest and not a life of stress. He doesn't want you to go through life rushed, worried, and anxious. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Everything you will ever need, divine health, victory in your Christian walk, success in your career, and blessed family relationships have all been provided for in Christ. Today, I want to help you learn how to live in God's rest with a special resource titled, Just Rest. Stop struggling to please God. I believe that as you listen to this series, you will catch a revelation of God's heart for you that will change the way you face your challenges. Beloved, I speak our Lord's shalom peace over your life as you rest in Him. God bless you.